Blog Talk Radio.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be. And when the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, let it be. But though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see, there will be an answer, let it be.
Sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. But the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus.
And when the night is cloudy, there is still a light that shines on me. Wake up to the sound of music. Mother Mary comes to me, singing words of wisdom. Let it be.
Shine upon me. Oh man, I didn't know it, but I must have been a poet. What do you think about that, Greg? I want to bring on Gregory Thompson. How you doing, sir?
Well, I think you are a poet in God's camp for sure. It makes me think of the story of Braveheart, William Wallace. You know, they were always talking about the warrior poets and. If anything, you are a warrior poet for the good Lord.
Well, that's what we've strived to be. Oh, most certainly. tonight, John Benko is out of the net. He and his wife are on a well-deserved vacation this weekend. John's trying to recover from Notre Dame playing Purdue as well. So we want to wish him well on that. We don't know how Notre Dame is going to play tomorrow, but that's been John's major issue this past week, it seems like.
Yeah.
But anyway, Greg, this has kind of been an interesting week, kind of watching some of the – I didn't really watch much of the convention because I was just too enwrapped in other things. But, you know, when you think about this week's Democratic convention, when you look at the basis, the foundation of it, it kind of goes back into the 1970s when they really split to the far left liberal angle. You know, the Democratic Party really took hold of the abortion issue. They probably were very involved in bringing over on the Roe v. Wade decision, which would bring an abortion into our country. And it's been a major battle ever since. You have the Democratic Party on the one side that just supports abortion for anything, and you have the Republican Party that the platform is supposed to be pro-life, even though there are some rhinos out there that are Democrat wannabes when it comes to that position. But you just look at the whole past week, and it's really kind of sad when you think about it, if you've read much of what that has taken place. I was listening to Vice President Biden, and he referred to the Democratic Party, or actually referring to the Republican Party, as being intolerant. And you know what he's talking about when he's talking about intolerance, don't you?
Oh, intolerant toward homosexuality and stuff?
Well, he's saying that the Republican Party is intolerant, as if the Republican Party was intolerant, as the Democratic Party is supportive of it. You know, they in fact, Obama, I heard him say, it doesn't matter who you love. Or, you know, it should be your decision, your choice to love whoever you want to love. And that is the party that just upholds this kind of lifestyle. They're progressive. Uh-huh. And I think it's very sad when you look at it. They say they're the party of tolerance, but when it comes to Christian faith, they're becoming more intolerant towards Christians. Check this out, Greg. This is just this is something that I think is very interesting. And I'm reading this. This is by Todd Starnes. He's a writer, which he writes, "The Democratic National Committee banned dozens of Charlotte churches from distributing gift baskets to delegates because the congregations hold values that are contrary to the party platform, according to local religious leaders." Now, does that not say something to you, Greg?
Yeah, I tell you what. Every time I hear any rhetoric from them, you know, and I know they must believe that they're talking wisdom or sense in their own minds, but it's just when you hear it, you can say what? I agree with you. You know, they don't make any sense on so many things.
Yeah, David Benham, he's the lead organizer of the Charlotte 714 religious movement.
Uh-huh.
It's a group of different churches that have come together. It's a
right.
group of more than 100 churches across the region that mobilized to pray for the Democratic National Convention. More than 9,000 people gathered last Sunday for a time of worship and prayer in advance of the convention. In other words, these people were praying for the people in the convention, praying for them. What a awesome.
They were going to bring them a basket of things for each of them. Did you know that?
Yeah.
The mayor, who evidently is Democrat, said it doesn't go along with their, what you all believe doesn't go along with their platform. They never had said anything, just offering a Christian thing.
Yeah.
He didn't want them to do it.
Yeah, they had told us, I'm talking about the Democratic Convention, says they told us our views on women's rights are contrary to the Democratic Party platform. So, really, the Democratic Party, and what's interesting about this is that these were not necessarily Catholic groups. These are groups that, you know, that represents about 56 different churches in the area that wanted to, what they call, adopt a delegation. And they wanted to give gift baskets, you know, featuring California or Carolina and other letter welcoming them to the city and offering assistance and transportation.
Well, and one of the reasons that they got together, isn't it, Don, is because the Muslims were supposed to have like 10 to 20,000 people there. And, you know, just basically inserting themselves in the Democratic Party pretty hard right now. They showed up with maybe 200 people. You know?
Yep, that's
but
exactly what I'm saying here.
The hype was that they were going to come in with all these thousands of people, and then, you know, they were only a fraction of what the Christians always put on, just like they, it's just like the media handles the march in Washington, D.C., you know.
Yeah.
March for Life, you know. They show a fraction of the hundreds of thousands that are there.
Well, that's exactly what they did here. In fact, the media, the liberal media, made much to say about the Muslims praying in Charlotte, where they had very little to say about the Christians and what they were attempting to do.
Yeah.
And I think that is just, that's just exactly what we have been seeing forever. Like I was saying, this Democratic Party, the convention, really goes back to the 1970s with the Roe v. Wade and how far off. I remember the 1984 Mondale-Ferraro ticket. And there was that platform that they embraced abortion formally. They had done so, you know, many members doing it before, but 1984 became part of their platform, as well as the homosexual, you know, support of homosexuality.
Sure.
And that's where this all has been wedged ever since. And this Democratic Convention, what I don't like about it, is they're taking for granted. They're taking as if this is right what it is, that homosexuality is normal and healthy and it's the right thing. It's intolerant to think otherwise. In other words, you're a waif, right-wing kook if you seem to be pro-life or if you're pro-family, if you're pro-family. And so that's where they put themselves. The Democratic Party has been taken over by the left-wing wacko kooks is my
sure.
I don't know how else
well,
to say it.
Well, it's I would call them useful idiots if you go back to the rhetoric of the communists. And I'm going to bring this just before I met you, Don, after my second convention in 05. This doctor that happened to be there, 86 probably at the time, called me and wanted me to know if I would come down and meet him for breakfast. I didn't know him, but he evidently was at that conference on the Ten Commandments and stuff. And so I went down and had breakfast with him, and he had a whole library. You know, he had infiltrated the Communist Party back in the 50s, and he was on a first name basis with their number one peoples from the over in Russia, and he gave me some articles and stuff, and one of them was an article of their number one guy here in the United States who was like the editor of their whatever newspaper they put out. And the article was talking about, he was telling them, you know, about one of the, it is one of the communist goals to infiltrate one or both parties, however many parties there are. And it's one of their goals. And the guy was, this communist leader was saying that we've had great success for the last 25 years, which would have taken him back to the mid-40s, in infiltrating the Democratic Party. And if you put all that together with what the what has happened, you know, even up to that time, you know, where they had the goals of communism that are in the annals of Congress, the 45 goals of communists that were brought to to Congress, and said this is their goals, that by the FBI, this is what they say their goals are, and see how many have been put in place today and have been supported by the Democratic Party. You can see the communist influence throughout. And, you know, a lot of people, when they hear the name communism, they think, isn't that gone? Didn't that Iron Curtain fall and all that kind of thing? Well, it's they're definitely alive and well today, and the influence is so strong within the Democratic Party. And that doesn't let, when I say that, it doesn't let the Republicans off the hook. You know, they have some communist influence, especially at the highest levels. As far as philosophy and Marxism and, you know, socialism, et cetera, and where they're, where they're taking this country. So, you know, both parties are not to be trusted at the national level, for sure. They're both evil. And, you know, I don't know where the listeners are on that, but they, you know, if they don't know that, it's just because I would say that they haven't made it a study or a research or anything.
And a lot of times, you strive to.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying, Greg, we're just trying to hope that there's one party that represents the common man, that represents families, pro-life, you know, that their platform is what it says. And it's kind of hard. Where does the Christian go when you look at the two-party system that we have? There's all we can do is try to do within the Republican Party. I think we have a lot more ability to be able to influence it from within because of the grassroots. When you look at the grassroots level, the Christian vote, the Christian right, it used to be called. The moral majority, it used to be known as, remember, they're still there. They haven't left. They're still there.
Well, the percentage of them has gone down as far as those that have a true conviction. It's been going down ever since we were children, Don. You know, the number that, I know when we were children, the stat would have been probably between 95 and 98% of the people would have claimed to be Christian. And so it's gone down 20 points from then to today, which about 76% claim to be Christian. So
that's
almost a 20-point drop.
And what's concerning me, and I know this concerns you with your background in education, you take a lot of these Christian young people, Catholic or Protestant, and you put them in the middle of a state university, and many times they lose their faith, they lose their values, they're overwhelmed by the environment that is conducive to communism and socialism and
sure,
this new age philosophy that they're preaching on the college campuses throughout the country.
Well, and you have probably, the estimate is something like 10,000 Marxist-type communist philosophies of at least 10,000 of the professors across the country, you know. And you get a young person that comes in. I just talked to a young lady that is graduating from MU with a medical degree in May. And she was at the abortion clinic. And she was thinking about coming up there and being their doctor. She said they don't have a doctor. And the two ladies that were talking when I was initially listening were just, you know, trying to tell her what they do, abortions. She said, well, they don't necessarily have to do abortions. We can just, you know, give out contraceptives and do other things. Well, she was a fallen away Catholic. And
interesting.
But she's on all these secular university campuses of very, very liberal, and MU's ultra-liberal. And they have professors that, you know, you get these young kids, you know, when they start school, 19, 20 in college, and they are still, even though some of them would even deny being able to be influenced, that you get a charismatic professor that has the right you know, that can have, be like light, like Satan is, that can influence the mind with what sounds like reasoning that is, you know, plausible. And because of that, these young people are, you know, well, these guys are the top experts. And, you know, I just left home and my dad was a carpenter and my mom was a housewife. What do they know? You know, and they, and not having a good catechesis, you know, and that's why, you know, I love the Catholic Church with everything in me. That's the Bride of Christ. It's the pillar and bulwark of truth. You know, it is the goal that everybody needs to head toward. You know, with mm-hmm. the Lord and His Mother, etc. And you know, these young kids that don't have strong catechesis, they can come from, like so many, I believe, in the Republican and especially the Democratic Party, that did not have good catechesis, that are that have been lured away by some of Satan's dupes because of that. Because if they knew their faith, you know, and would be praying, there's no way that Satan would capture as many as he does in that type of thought process.
Well, but they would break certainly away, not put themselves yet. They wouldn't subject themselves to.
Yes. I asked the priest that's at the Riley Catholic Center down on the SMU campus where we're going to have this
event.
And I said, well, how many young people were, you know, do you connect to and during the year? And he said probably about 300. And he said, now that's out of a population on that campus of probably over 5,000 Catholic students. You know, and he said probably a fraction of them go to some other different parishes. You know, besides the student center here. But let's even bump that number up into 500, and only 1 out of 10, you know, going to Mass or things like that. That's just a great sadness of how. But it's the reality of putting them into an education system that has an agenda beyond teaching you the trigonometry. They have an agenda, you know. And the influence of it is to bring them to kneeling to a false god, kneeling to the state rather than to God. And so many of them fall.
That's where the attack on the Constitution is becoming more and more evident, and those who are defending it becoming more and more sparse. When I was in Iraq the last time in 2010, my brigade chaplain was telling me that the gay activists had, at that time, you know, I mean, this was during the Obama years, and you know, he had been president for 2 years with a Democratic-controlled House and Senate, and you know, they were really, the Republicans couldn't stop him with whatever they wanted to do, and the gay agenda at that time, the gay activists had approached the military chaplaincy and told them that they would have to modify very soon they would have to modify what they preach from the pulpit. If that's not an example of an attack on our liberty, our religious freedom, I don't know what is.
Yes.
And it's,
yes. You know, I was just thinking about this for teachers, but I almost feel like it for the clergy too, Donald. You know, of having all of them sign a fidelity or loyalty oath to the teachings of the Catholic Church. You know, or let us know if you can't do that, we have to relieve you of your position. You know, you cannot be in the position until, and not kicking them out forever, you know, but, you know, at the point you feel like you can embrace the fullness of the teachings of the Catholic Church, then we can have you teach. Then we can have you be clergy. But if not, you have to step aside until that happens, because they can infect other people and are in positions of influence that do affect other people. We need to pray for them so much, because that is happening today. I just saw today where a priest in one of the northern states, I can't think which state it was in, Minnesota, Wisconsin, someplace up there, gave $1,000 to the homosexual cause.
What?
Yeah. And I thought, oh my golly, how? Why? You know, it's just the scandal of something like that, you know. And I don't, it's so recent, Don, that I hope that the bishop, wherever he is, takes direct action immediately, and because that has to be righted, not allowed.
But see,
to.
Something like that makes me not even want to give. If I was in that parish, I wouldn't give him nothing.
Well, I don't know. I think it may have been his own money, but it doesn't make any difference.
Well, still, my money's paying him.
You wouldn't trust. you wouldn't trust what he might do with it. You know.
Well, I mean, think about that. That's pretty messed up. I mean, I don't care if it's a priest or a minister of any kind.
Yeah.
If they're giving money to the enemy, and I mean, and I'm not talking about money. I consider that blood money, by the way. But I don't mean money that, I mean, like if he's giving to a homosexual group that's trying to right itself, to support a Catholic group that's trying to do the right thing and live the right way, that I can see. But if it's just a regular homosexual group that's trying to push gay liberation, then that's a whole different matter.
That's right. And
so I'm only
let me say something to those that are listening now, you know, to our audience too, in that you know, the homosexual person, we absolutely can love and should always tolerate that person. But it's the principle, whenever it goes against God and his Catholic Church teachings. You know, we have to, you know, see that what that is in God's eyes, and it is a grievous sin, and you know, so we're not attacking the person; we're attacking the principle that is against God, and you know, and stay the course. Everyone that's listening, stay the course with all the attacks that Satan's doing internally and externally on the Catholic Church. The fullness of truth exists in the Catholic Church only. You know, it's where the absolute truth is. You know, there's little things that are out there that are little glimmers of light and have a little truth around them. But when you get close to the good Lord and give your total being and your to the good Lord and his mother, you know, just the specialness and peace that you have and the things that you're able to persevere through these terrible things that we're talking about, that's not the Catholic Church. That has nothing to do with the Catholic Church as it is. It's some people that are in the Catholic Church that have done some bad things, you know. So continue to study every day, learn our faith, and embrace it more and more, because the good Lord has, and through His mother, have given us many special promises, but there are also warnings, you know, things to stay away from. So, you know, it's like our contrition says, you know, to that there's a fear of hell, but we should do things because we love the good Lord.
That should be first and foremost.
Yes.
In fact, that should be our motivation. Our motivation is because we love God, know God, and serve God, and we grow. And what we're seeing today, if you've got your spiritual antenna up, that means you're able to see and hear, feel, touch, sense what's going on. When you see the Democratic Party wanting to take the name of God out of the equation in their platform, that was a ruckus there. I know that the next day after they took God's name out of the platform, there was a number of them that wanted to get God's name reinserted. And when it came to having a vote, you know, a floor vote, you know, they'll say everybody that's for it say aye, and you'll have all the ayes go aye, and all the nays go nay. But when it came to that vote, they had to do that two or three different times, because you have to have a three-fourths vote.
Two-thirds, yeah.
You know, supposed to. Three-fourths.
Yeah, but it was there was no way that they could have settled that by what they heard, could they? If
no,
they had to settle it, they would have had to go with the nays if they had to settle it.
Yes, because the nays was actually louder than the yays.
Yeah.
And so
on
that
the third vote, they just ramrodded it through. That's what they did.
That's exactly what they did. And I'm thinking, you know, I couldn't be in that crowd. I would not be in that crowd. I would have walked out at that point.
Yeah.
At that point, well, I wouldn't have never gone in there, because I know what their platform is to begin with, going back to the 1970s. But you look at also, they wanted to the whole issue of Israel and recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Jerusalem. Or, I mean, the capital of Israel. They took that out of their platform as well. I think that is just an amazing thing.
They were so upset that they were cussing and giving the finger and everything else. It was terrible. Yeah.
I can't imagine, you know, this, I mean, you know, the Republican Party, in fact, when we talked last week, we spoke about some of the problems that they had at the Republican Party platform, and, yeah, there were rules that they, you know, the RINOs wanted to try to keep the Tea Party at bay. I guess that was their motivation for whatever they were doing. But what they did at the Democratic Party, I think, again, was far worse. And one, they want to take the name of God out. And two, they wanted to, as far as Israel is concerned, Israel's our greatest, they're our biggest ally there in the Middle East.
Sure.
And yet we're treating them like, you know, like, well, they're just another nation over there, and we're going to make them bend. Or, you know, we're trying to get them to whatever. We're not treating them like allies. I don't, you know, we're giving them mixed messages. I mean, if we can't even recognize who their capital is, could you imagine Israel coming up and say, well, we don't really believe that Washington is the capital of America, you know, the United States. We don't recognize Washington. That would be laughable, wouldn't it not?
Sure would, yeah.
I mean, it's really, and Jerusalem, well, Israel itself, is about the size of New Jersey, is it? It's not very big.
It's not very big. And
it's interesting.
And Jerusalem's been the capital of Israel for thousands of years.
Well, since King David.
Yep.
You know, but that was another issue. That was another hot spot of the Democratic Party, which had a religious nature to it. Another one was about women. You know, they wanted to push this whole thing about these gift baskets that the Christians was trying to give to the delegates. And I think in good faith, they weren't there to proselytize or any of that. They were there to say, hey, we support you, we're praying for you, We want to give you, something, that would help you. I mean, that's what these gift baskets were. It's stuff that was probably good stuff, pens and paper and things that might have been, that they could have used there at the convention, Maybe some foodstuffs, things of that nature, too. I don't know what was exactly in these gift baskets, but that's what I kind of anticipate that they might have had. I wouldn't be surprised if they might have had a Bible, a little one or something. But, that would have been a nice gesture,
sure.
A goodwill thing. That's all that was intended to be. But they were they were rejected because of, you don't agree with our platform, so we will not recognize you or we don't want you here. That's kind of the feeling that I get. And that's another issue about intolerance. Who's intolerant here? The Democratic Convention, the Democratic platform is the one that's really intolerant.
Sure.
And it's intolerant towards Christians. And so they're trying to take out the Bible and, rewrite it, make it more conducive to a pro-gay, pro-sin message. And you just can't do that. Not in the open where people can watch and see what you're doing.
Yeah.
That's why it says have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose it, because once it's brought out into the light, then it can be seen, and we can understand where the attack is coming from. That's exactly what's happening. You and I see it pretty clearly. But unfortunately, there are people there at that convention that, you walk in there, the first thing, if I was just watching and I wasn't listening to it, I saw all the American flags. There was a lot of American flags, I thought. I loved the little part where they did the Pledge of Allegiance. And they had Miss Gifford, the one who was shot. And she led that. And that was, as an American, that was pretty special. Just watching it, just kind of coming into it and just watching that piece of it. That was pretty special. She survived that gunshot and was able to come out of that. But, as an American, I could feel patriotism about that. But that was the only thing I could imagine in that whole convention that I would have had anything that I could say as an American I was proud of. There wasn't a whole lot of other stuff there that I could say I would be supportive of because of exactly what they're talking about. They didn't want us there because of their position on artificial contraception. They're trying to make a war on women. Well, there's no war on women. If anything, I think that, right now there's over 2 million women that are breast cancer survivors in the United States. And 60% of women who do come down with cancer, 60% are because they're what is called estrogen positive. That's very important because that estrogen positive, those who are being given the pill, birth control pill, that enhances that. That makes it more prone to, it could be in the water you drank, it could be in a number of factors, but the pill is a huge factor when it comes to the estrogen situation and the cause and effect that the pill might have on causing cancer among women.
Well, is there a connection then with that? Because I know when Susan B. Komen's group with breast cancer was given millions of dollars to Planned Parenthood and stuff, they showed where having abortion made a woman more likely to have breast cancer.
Yeah, that's cervical cancer.
Yeah, so.
Yes. Estrogen positive is many women are affected because of the estrogen level that is in their body, their system. Their body reacts to it, and it develops this cancer. And as a result of it, some have died. Now, a couple of good things that's happened as a result of this, in that people are being encouraged to have yearly checks, you know, do mammograms, do various, you know, to be more conscious about it. And so it may have dropped about 2% within the last couple, 3 years on people being saved through medication and, you know, early detection. That is a good thing. If we can encourage people to have themselves checked more regularly, but it's still an epidemic level when you have many, many women who, you know, 40, 50,000 women die each year because of breast cancer. That is largely due because of the estrogen positive connection. And the pill is a very important, it plays a significant role in that. When you consider how many women use it and has been on it, it makes it a universal problem, I believe.
Yes.
And so I think it's something that the medical establishment is making a mistake. I think the war on women is coming from the left, to be honest. The war on the left is the one who's trying to, you know, for the sake of what they would call sexual freedom, sexual revolution, or sexual freedom, you know, to be able to do what you want to do and have no one tell you you're right or wrong or any of that. That's what this is really all about. And that's what this intolerance thing. If you as a Christian uphold that the teaching of homosexuality is correct and that it is a sin, well, now you're a bigot. And instead of making it where, you know, they want to make it a crime, that if you say that homosexuality is a sin, you could be punishable by some kind of a crime, a hate crime, hate speech. You know, I think in Canada, if I'm not mistaken, I think there was a minister who preached homosexuality was wrong from the pulpit. They put him in jail and fined him $50,000 or some kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's what they're wanting to do here. They're wanting to do that exactly here. And that's exactly, in fact, I heard it was either Obama or Biden, one of the two, made a reference to the military, showing that, you know, they think it's a good thing that homosexuals are in the military. I think that's a wrong answer. I think it's a wrong situation. And so the Democratic Party, when you look at the Democratic Convention this past week, you know, if you were to watch it without listening to it, you might have saw a lot of cheering, a lot of flag waving, something that almost resembles an American. But it is far, far from the American values and ideals. It really is. They're trying to change those values and ideas to new ones, and that's what's dangerous. You know, back in the early 1900s, the Marxists and socialists and communists, you know, they waged war. They waged revolution on governments, you know, trying to stamp out Christianity. Well, that's exactly what I see happening here, not with the power of the gun, but through the power of the mind. They're trying to bend, you know, they're trying to take away people's minds. That's exactly what I see here.
It's definitely, and the Freemasons, ones that started the communism, it's definitely their game plan was to, you know, to me, just watching what's happened, having the mind look and see, well, you don't have to worry about that anymore. When their new agenda was to come in and by ideas take this country over. And they've been very successful in that work, for sure.
Well, that's something we got to put a stop to. But, you know, the only way that we're going to be able to turn this thing around, and this November is very important in this. If I mean, I'm serious. If Obama wins, it's going to be all hell break loose. And he's already telegraphed it, he's already been showing signs of this already. You know, when you have Obama speaking before, well, he didn't know that it was mic'd, but you could hear him speaking to a Russian leader, telling him that once he wins this election, that he would have no boundary. So you could tell Putin that that we'll be good to go when I get past this election. What do you think that says? I think it's very scary what he's saying.
I think
not all about national defense.
I think it's because he's a good little communist.
Well, he's definitely.
That's my. He's had that influence all of his life, and his philosophy leans in that direction. Look at all of his czars. Who he surrounds himself with.
Yeah, he's definitely, he's from.
He leans that
most
way,
of his. Yeah, well, that's what his policies definitely show. That's exactly what it says. You know, when you look at, take a look at some of these tenets of the Humanist Manifesto. Here to go. Here's just, think about it. This is coming from the Humanist Manifesto. Today, man's larger understanding of the universe, his scientific achievements, and deeper appreciation of brotherhood have created a situation which requires a new statement of the means and purposes of religion. Such a vital, fearless, and frank religion, capable of furnishing adequate social goals and personal satisfactions, must be shaped for the needs of this age. To establish such a religion is a major necessity of the present. We therefore affirm the following. What do you think of what he's saying there? That's very, you know, to furnish adequate social goals and personal satisfactions. You know, what is that really saying? First, religious humanists regard the universe as self-existing and not created.
Sure.
It's atheist.
It's about
It's
about you and you right now, and so it feeds into pride and self gratification and selfishness in every way. And if people, it's dangerous. It's so dangerous. It's been Satan's way from the very beginning. You know, that's what it is. It's Satan's way. You know, all you have is here and now. And, you know, it's about you.
Well, that's exactly what we want it to be. It's about us, me, you know, the me generation. Second, humanism believes that man is a part of nature and that he has emerged as a result of a continuous process. And now you know what that's getting into. That's getting into Darwin and evolution and this whole mentality. It's a philosophy.
Sure,
you know, holding an organic view of life, humanists find that the traditional dualism of mind and body must be rejected. They're rejecting the soul.
Yeah.
They're rejecting, you know, the God-given liberty. That's why they wanted to take God out of the convention. This is right out of their playbook. You got it right down. I mean, you have it, Craig. Humanism recognizes that man's religious culture and civilization, as clearly depicted by anthropology and history, are the product of a gradual development due to his interaction with his natural environment and with his social heritage. The individual born into a particular culture is largely molded by that culture. See, they're wanting to transform our culture into, you know, it's kind of like what John Lennon is saying, you know, that song Imagine. Imagine there's no heaven. Imagine there's no God. It's easy if you try. You know, that's that mentality. It's that mindset. That's what they're trying to push. Humanism asserts that the nature of the universe depicted by modern science makes unacceptable any supernatural or cosmic guarantees of human values. Obviously, humanism does not deny the possibility of realities as yet undiscovered, but it does insist that the way to determine the existence and value of any and all realities is by means of intelligent inquiry and by the assessment of their relations to human needs. Religion must formulate its hopes and plans in the light of the scientific spirit and method. see what they're doing here. Uh-huh. And they're trying to implement this philosophy to our young people that we were just talking about earlier. We are convinced, and this is what they're saying, we are convinced that the time has passed for theism, deism, modernism, and the several verities of new thought. So they're trying to erase our Christian heritage with this new thought. Religion consists of those actions, purposes, and experiences which are humanly significant. Nothing human is alien to the religious. It includes labor, art, science, philosophy, love, friendship, recreation, all that is in its degree expressive of intelligently satisfying human living. The distinct difference between the sacred and the secular can no longer be maintained. Religious humanism considers the complete realization of human personality to be the end, i.e., purpose of man's life, and seeks its development and fulfillment in the here and now. This is the explanation of the humanist's social passion. And this is exactly the message of the Democratic Party and the Democratic platform. That's exactly it. It's all about Obama. It's all about his socialism. It's all about, you know, his view. And it, you know, it's, you know, his going against the Catholic Church. His, you know, naturally that's his war. This is how you were talking about. He has been bred from the very early on in his life with these czars that he's got around him. This has been what has been exploited in detail. And, you know, out of the heart come the mouth speaks. You know, I'm just picking out stuff here that is coming from the Humanist Manifesto. 10, you know, it follows that there will be no uniquely religious emotions and attitudes of the kind hitherto associated with belief in the supernatural. They wanted to take God out of the equation, you know, Greg. That's what they wanted to do.
Yep.
They reject what is supernatural. Man will learn to face the crisis of life in terms of his knowledge of their naturalness and probability. Reasonable and manly attitudes will be fostered by education and supported by custom. We assume that humanism will take the path of social and mental hygiene and discourage sentiment and unreal hopes and wishful thinking. So it's all within the, you know, the mind. Rationalizing the mind, and they're wanting to foster education which is supported by custom. And what are they wanting to do? They're wanting to take away our customs, like Christmas, you know, the Christmas tree, you know, the nativity scene. They're wanting to take away Christian signs and symbols out of public life. Does that not sound like, I mean, when you look at this, believing that religion must work increasingly for joy in living, religious humanists aim to foster the creative in man and to encourage achievements that add to the satisfactions of life. The satisfactions of life. Well, think about that. I mean, you know, homosexuals, they, you know, they sex out of responsibility outside of marriage. You know, there's no values or morals here. And it's definitely going against gospel, you know, the gospel. Religious humanism maintains that all associations and institutions exist for the fulfillment of human life. The intelligent evaluation, transformation, control, and direction of such associations and institutions with a view to the enhancement of human life is the purpose and program of humanism. Certainly, religious institutions, their ritualistic forms, ecclesiastical methods, and communal activities must be reconstituted as rapidly as experience allows. Do you hear what that is saying? They want to eradicate Christianity from public life and from personal life. That's exactly what they're saying. They're saying, certainly, religious institutions, their ritualistic forms, ecclesiastical methods, and communal activities must be reconstituted as rapidly as experience allows. You hear that, Mom and Dad out there? You hear that, you know, those of you who are strong Catholic? Does this affect you in any way, what I'm showing here? And this is the basis of the Democratic platform. That's exactly what we're talking about here. The humanists are firmly convinced that existing acquisitive and profit-motivated society has shown itself to be inadequate, and that a radical change in methods, controls, and motives must be instituted. A socialized and cooperative economic order, here we go, a socialized and cooperative economic order must be established to the end that the equitable distribution of the means of life is be possible. The goal of humanism is a free and universal society in which people voluntarily and intelligently cooperate with the common good for the common good. Humanists demand a shared life in a shared world. Does that not sound like the Democratic Party and what they're trying to push in the socialism?
Absolutely.
They're trying to take away the idea of people being able to be successful, which, you know, this is just unreal. And this is the last one I'll mention. But we assert that humanism will, A, affirm life rather than deny it, B, seek to elicit the possibility of life, not flee from them, and C, endeavor to establish the conditions of satisfactory life for all, not merely for the few. By this positive morale and intention, humanism will be guided, and from this perspective and alignment, the techniques and efforts of humanism will flow.
Wow.
Wow. You know, Greg, what is all this that we've been sharing with here from the Humanist Manifesto? What it is actually saying in relation to the Democratic Party's platform and convention this past week. When you read and listen to the words of what they pushed in their speeches and what they said.
Well, can you imagine at one time them ever have heard in either party someone having enough moxie, I guess, to ever say anything negative toward God. Really. Neither party would have done it. But they're getting brasser and brasser all the time, and, you know, to be shouting and cussing and all kinds of gestures because we're talking about God. You know? An evil, a wickedness that's there.
It's all about personal satisfaction. It's about what you want to do, and nobody can tell you right or wrong what is right or wrong. That's what the humanists are pushing for.
Yep.
And there's very little do's and don'ts that they have, really.
No, that's right. Well, it's exactly the attitude, for the most part, that they had in the days of Noah. Everybody did what was right in their own mind. Could justify it as being right because you're okay, I'm okay, and whatever you want to do is okay.
Just like the ark saved Noah and his sons and family from the waters, the Catholic Church is that ark, the bark of Peter.
Absolutely, and that's where we got to come around full circle to, in that no, ever will a party save this country. It's not going to happen. It's going to take us getting on our knees. It's going to take the Catholic Church, although there's only a remnant going to church now, what, 1 in 5 maybe? And on a regular basis, that we have got to do what we've been asked to do. It will convert sinners. It will, bring souls to the good Lord for sure. And if we're not about that business, we're we're helping with the destruction of this country. Because
we
can think we're smarter than God and have all these different ways, and so we get these mercenaries in the Republican or Democratic Party, and they're going to save us, they're going to do this or that, and they will never, ever, it will never happen. You know, if God's not the foundation, you know, it's going down. And so the Catholic Church, in understanding that, has to get back to our knees, get back to, you know, can you imagine what it would be like if 76 million Catholics prayed the rosary every day?
And got on fire.
It would change things. It would change the direction of the country. Things would happen in a positive way. But somebody else is doing it. You know, I got better things to do. I need to go. I'm going to need to meet somebody at the ball game. I haven't got time to say the rosary. I haven't got time to say the Divine Mercy. You know, and so we haven't got time to pray. We become culpable in what's going on. So.
And we don't want to ruffle the waters. We just want everybody to kind of just get along. You know, it doesn't matter if they use the Lord's name in vain around us. We're not affected by it. We're desensitized by it. Yep. We're desensitized by this compromise. You know, we don't want to get too involved because we don't want to have to be made to take a stand that's going to cause us to work harder. You know what I mean?
No, I do.
So, you know, one thing that I did like what Romney and Paul Ryan said, they said that our rights come from God and not from man's government.
Yeah.
And if they hold to that, they stick to that.
Well, the thing that is, they were talking about two different gods. Ryan had it right. He was talking about the triune God. But
yeah.
Romney and his religion do not believe in God. They believe they're going to become gods. So we can't think that they were talking about the same God. It wasn't happening. You know,
they use the same verbiage. But I understand what you mean, because when you're looking at... Now, I'm talking about pure Mormonism. I've known something about some of my Mormon friends that I've had when you talk to them about the gospel and you talk to them about the Trinity and the Scripture. You know, individually, you'll have Mormons that will be Christian in the sense that, they believe these things. But their church, as you said, and rightfully so, they do not uphold that. If you look at what the Mormon tenets believe, they are very, I would call them neo-Christian. Very much in the same vein as I would Jehovah's Witnesses. You know, they're kind of two offshoots that I would call neo. They're not Christian. They have a form of or a likeness of a Christian. In fact, many Mormons the way they live their life, many Mormons would live it what we could call almost a Christian life, and that they try to live a very moral, value, gospel type of a lifestyle, most of them, a lot of them. You know, they're known for that. Well, in fact, unfortunately, a lot better than some of those Catholics.
But it's surface only. It's surface
only.
Yeah,
it's surface only. Some of it gets a little deeper in the sense that some of them, when you do witness to them, when you do talk to them, many of them or some of them do, they Christianize their Mormonism. I'll put it that way. How else? Because they kind of, it's just like a lot of Protestants, you know, when you talk to them about the Eucharist and you tell them about the reality of the Eucharist, many of them from Scripture could say, yeah, I believe that. But when you go to their church is, they don't teach that at all.
Sure.
You know, just like the situation with Russell Ford, you know, in that first show that we had with him, he spoke about his coming to the Eucharist, understanding of the Eucharist as a Baptist, and how he had no relationship with his own leaders because they did not or could not respond to his concerns or his feelings about what he's discovering in the scripture. And he wasn't even thinking of it as a, from a Catholic perspective. It wasn't until he was in prison that someone explained to him what the Catholic Church was, really, and he understood what the Eucharist is, that his heart was he understood. He, you know, because he had this issue in his head, but he didn't know where it was coming from or where it was going until he found the truth. Then once he found the truth, then it all brought it together, and it just came home to him. And so that's what it's got to happen for all of us out there. We need to embrace our faith to such an extent that we must be willing to take a stand for it. It's more than just something that we do out of habit. It's something that we live by. It's a creed that we live by. And that's why the convention, you know, when we talk about religions of men or doctrines of men or traditions of men, I think that's even the better, traditions of men. When people put traditions of men above the doctrines or teaching of God, that's exactly what I think of. I think of, you know, politics, where people put their politics above God. That's exactly what I think that's talking about, putting traditions of men above God.
Sure there. You know, sadly to say, yes.
You know, so you can have 30,000 people screaming and cheering in an auditorium like they did this past week at the Democratic Convention. And not, I mean, they gave maybe God at the best, lip service. At the best, if they even acknowledged him at all. And I think you had it right a while ago when I think the nays actually outdone the yays in that crowd. You know, I think you're right. They took it on, they did it a third time, and each time, I think the yays or the nays took it. And they just kind of went with it because I think they knew what the public, you know, how this could affect them, you know, their across the country. Because still, like you said, 76% of the American people would still say they have a form of Christianity.
Sure.
And we got to secure it, or it's going to bleed out more.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's reversible or not.
Well, only one way.
There is only one way.
It's not going to happen by
osmosis. Well, there's two ways. Well, prayer is one, but you got to take action. You know, the doers of the word, we got to take action. You can't be just hearers only, but you got to be doers of the word. And so that's the new, that was the rave this week, Greg. Doers of the word, that is the rave of the week. And so we are called to be doers, and because of the Democratic, you know, the Republican and Democratic platform, the whole convention scene, I know exactly where you're coming from when you're concerned about both parties, because you got in both you got elements in both parties that are basically just more or less there. It is important for us that we continue to strive to do the right thing wherever we're planted. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we talked a lot about tonight about what's going on with humanism and the parties. You do have the right to vote, and you do have the right to be able to assemble. That has not been taken. And so I encourage you to vote. And I hope that as the priest and the church is encouraging us, our values do matter. Our values do matter. We are called to take a stand for what is right in our society. And we must put an end to abortion. We must stand up for traditional marriage. And I think if you're going and eating at Chick-fil-A, and do that, and then go get you some chicken. But mostly, by the way you live your life, the way you raise your kids, the way you love your wife and your husband, that's very important. The way you love God, the way you're faithful to God, going to Mass every Sunday and every holy day as often as you can, and to receive the sacraments, that is what God is calling us to. And to pray, Our Lady asks us to pray the rosary for the conversion of sinners. Let us not back up on that task. And so with that, I will end this tonight for Greg and John and for Ross and Margie and Christy and Russell and everybody else out there with Deeper Truth. You all have a good weekend. And tomorrow night, or this coming Sunday, come back on Sunday at 7 o'clock. We're going to be doing the Scott Paulin story, his conversion to the Catholic Church. That should be very exciting. So everybody come back on Sunday night. God bless you.